It all kicked off on the Nolan Five Live show over the weekend between the former MP Edwina Curry and Andy Walton, the broadcaster and commentator. This was about food banks, and I wanted you to hear this. They were debating a lady called Kelly who had called into the programme, and she got stuck into Edwina because Edwina was saying that no one in the UK goes hungry. And I started by asking Edwina if she thought food banks were a bad thing.
I think they are the wrong answer to the wrong question.
People being hungry is the wrong question.
I don't think people are hungry in this country.
Well, I'm afraid that's you've been picked up on this before.
Opinion.
You've been picked up on this before, but this
and
is utterly outrageous.
It's not outrageous.
It's an outrageous thing to say.
It's not outrageous.
It is. Let me tell you about food banks. Let me tell you about the food bank. Let me tell you about
the.
Let me tell you
about
the food bank that my dad volunteers at. He's retired. When I speak to him, he will tell me the stories of people who have problems with their benefits. He'll tell me the stories of people who are just down on their luck and want.
And where does he get the stories from?
From the food bank.
No. He gets the stories from those people.
But you're
does he have the opportunity to go and check up?
He worked.
Well, let's let Edwina expand. Hold on, Andy. Expand on what you mean. Are you suggesting that these food banks, Edwina, are full, are inundated by people who are coming and spoofing and are not really hungry? Is that what you're saying?
I'm suggesting that many of the people who come to food banks are making very bad choices with the money that they've got. They know that. In many cases, they come and they are able to obtain either vouchers or food or household supplies without any of the checks that any professional organisation would do. Because
you're not sounding very sympathetic.
I'm not. It's one of the reasons there are lots more people going to food banks is because there's lots of food banks.
No,
if you offer something that is worthwhile having and that is a quality and is free, then you're going to have people queuing up for it, some of whom don't need it. What you're doing then is you're undermining local shops. Secondly, you are subsidising.
Undermining local shops.
Of course you are.
Edwina, do you understand that the people standing there at the food bank, when you're saying they're making bad choices with their money, do you understand that by the time they've paid their bills, they do not have money for food?
That the food bank is their last option.
Do you concede that?
Stephen, I sit down with them and I want to know where the money goes. And I want to know why they have got £400 a week coming in and they still haven't got any money for food. What the heck is going on?
And you don't congratulate the charity and the sense of selflessness from the volunteers at the food bank.
It's admirable, but it is misplaced.
No, it's part of some scurrilous political plot, apparently, Stephen.
But I would say to anybody that's interested in doing something like that, something for the community, look around. There is need. But it's a different kind of need. It's often the need of loneliness. It's often the need of people on their own. It's often, particularly amongst older people.
People are volunteering at food banks because they're lonely, not because they want to help.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying there are always people in a community that will benefit from kindness and friendship and the kind of love that is expressed by those who are running the food banks. And the people who run the food banks are my absolute admiration.
Do you at least concede?
But I think very often they are being taken for a ride.
Taken for a ride by whom?
By some of the people who turn up, often in cars.
Because having a car is not allowed now?
Because if you're short of money, perhaps putting petrol in the car before you put food on the table is a bad choice.
And what if you need the car to work to bring money in?
Then I want to know.
A fifth of the people, what are you doing with your money? Why? Of the people below the poverty line in this country are in work, Edwina.
Well, I just want to know what choices.
They're in work.
Don't talk about choices.
Why don't we talk about wages? Why don't we talk about benefits not being enough?
It's all about choices. The first thing, the kind of family I was brought up in, a working class family in Liverpool, the kind of family that I was brought in, the first thing you do is you put food on the table for your children.
And what if people aren't fortunate enough to be brought up in the family like you were? What if people aren't able to make good choices?
Oh, come on.
People aren't going to get your sympathy if they've got mental health problems. People aren't going to get your sympathy if they're disabled.
How much help are they going to get for their mental health problems when they turn up and they get a tin of soup? None whatsoever.
They are absolutely going to be signposted to other agencies.
Oh, yes.
They're going to be given all sorts of pastoral help.
No, they're not. They're absolutely not.
Have you ever been to a food bank?
I've been to lots of them. I've been with Stephen.
Right.
Oh,
okay. And you saw people
anyway.
Giving out only a tin of soup and nothing else? Or did you see selfless volunteers turning up day
right.
after
okay.
day after day?
Yes, Kelly wants to speak to you. Kelly, you worked at the CAB for what, 9 years?
Yeah, I started as a volunteer 9 years ago, but I'm working full time there now.
Would you like to say good morning to Edwina?
Good morning, Edwina.
Hi, hello.
Hi. I just would like to make a comment that you're actually wrong. We get people coming in daily to see us that have been missing benefits and haven't had benefits paid to them for 5 and 6 weeks and haven't had any payments. Some of these are long-term benefits and have been living on between £70 to £100 a week for a number of years. So they have absolutely no opportunity to get any kind of resources behind them to actually cover them for these times of need. And quite often DWP will just stop payments and won't actually inform somebody. And most people will be aware is on a low income that if for some reason your income is not paid and you miss a month, there's absolutely nothing you can do and you're scratching around trying to find money to...
Could I ask you something? The CAB does wonderful work.
No, that's fine, yeah.
How far can you check people's stories?
I actually phone up the DWP.
So you do check?
Yeah.
You
oh,
do
no,
check.
Absolutely.
And you're properly trained and you can do it. I tell you one of the things that worries me a bit, though. The several times I've been to the various food banks and sat and chatted with people, sometimes they have, as was mentioned earlier, as Andy said earlier, they have mental health problems, depression problems and so on.
Oh, absolutely.
In our areas, in Manchester, for example, a lot of the public health budget, which they've been allocated, and this is true in other places as well, is being allocated not to services for mentally ill, it's being allocated to food banks. So if they look for a service, let me give you some figures. Last year, nearly 1 million people went to see their GP for symptoms of mental illness and depression and so on. Half of them got no treatment whatsoever, and the other half had to wait for up to a year to see anyone. So, you know, I'm all in favour of improving our services for people with real problems, people with addictions, people who've been discharged from prison, people who are coming out of the army, for example, with post-traumatic stress disorder and so on. And many of these services are really not very good. But just giving them food, that doesn't solve anybody's problems at all. It actually just postpones the point at which the problem is going to have to be dealt with.
I just think that it's all very well for Edwina to make these grand sweeping statements that no one's hungry in the UK, that this is all part of some kind of vast labour conspiracy. Just listen for a second.
Hang on, can I just interrupt both of you? Because I actually have people walking in to see me on a weekly basis, because I live in a rural area, walking miles to get to see us. And they haven't eaten for weeks.
They would be in hospital.
I made a mistake. It wasn't weeks, it was days. But they haven't eaten for days.
But they're collapsed
the cold
with hunger.
And the dark. Yes, they are collapsing with hunger, some of them.
No, they managed
I've
to walk
there,
to you.
And I've handed over my lunch to some of these clients.
And have you I mean, one
I've had my
things...
husband bring me in food from home to feed some
All
of
right,
my
you
clients.
You are such a good
Don't
person.
Patronize
oh, that's
me.
So
I'm
patronizing, Edwina. Come
I'm
on
not.
Now. That is
I'm
so
not.
Patronizing.
These are good people who run all these services. And CAB in particular is one of the most outstanding charitable activities that we have. Now, look, somewhere along the line, if somebody hasn't got any money, there's a reason for it. And one of the reasons people get sanctioned is that they fail to turn up for job interviews and they do it repeatedly. It doesn't happen the first time.
Yes.
They have full of excuses.
No, I'm afraid you're wrong. It does now. You will be sanctioned if you miss an appointment for the first time. And
why should you miss the appointment?
Well, from where I live, it costs £16 to get on a bus to get to the local job centre from where I live. And sometimes, at the end of the 2 weeks, with your £140 that you have to live on, you haven't got £16.
Somewhere along the line, people have got to start applying for the jobs that exist.
They are
applying
for the jobs that exist.
Everybody else is working on the jobs
that exist. Okay, let me say thank you, Kelly. Andy, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the problem here is that Edwina gets skewered when someone with actual on-the-ground facts comes on. So what's happened there is someone's rung up, and they're able to puncture Edwina's grand statements that she makes.
That's not an argument.
No, it is. I'm afraid it is.
Listen.
You make grand statements saying no one's hungry. You make grand statements saying all these volunteers are just part of some vast Labour conspiracy. But when someone actually comes on and challenges you with their daily experience, you have to resort to patronising them. And I'm afraid it's not on.
No, come on.
There is an army of people in this country who are running services that should not be required.
And there's an army of people in this country turning up with sob stories who actually need to be sat down.
Insulting people who are down on their luck, Edwina. Have you any idea what it is like to have a mental health problem? Have you any idea what it is like to be one of those former service people? Have you any idea?
Andy, I spent 22 years in elected office running advice bureaus myself every Saturday and many Fridays as well. I have met and spoken to thousands and thousands of people. We used to, in South Derbyshire, to be running about 1,000 cases at any one time. A vast diversity of problems and issues and so on. I have a hell of a lot more experience of doing this than you have. And let me tell you something. Many of the people who turn up when they come to MPs or councils or whatever, they have genuine problems and there are genuine solutions, and sometimes they don't like the solution, and sometimes you have to say to them, you won't like what I have to say to you, but I'm going to tell you the truth, and I may be the only person you ever meet that does tell you the truth, and I will help you through
the
situation.
But this is the problem,
Edwina, do you regret what you've just said? There is an army of people turning up with sob stories at food banks.
Nope, I'm sure it's true.
Why are you the person who? You're the lone voice of reason here. Do you never think that actually you might be wrong? I know you never think that you're wrong, but do you never think that the thousands and thousands of people who volunteer at food banks might know more about this than you?
Well, the thousands and thousands of people who volunteer, just because something is multiplied by 1,000 doesn't always mean that it adds to its strength.
Come on, play the man, not the ball. Play the argument here. Do you not think...
The people who run the food banks are lovely people. They are absolutely lovely people. But over and over again, I've turned up to these things. I'm a very wicked person. I drive up early and I park in the car park at the back and I sit and watch. And I watch people walk in who are thin and poorly dressed and they are carrying the bags of food to give away. And they're often elderly. And the ones who I've watched then drive in and put the food in the car and drive
anecdotal.
Away.
This is anecdotal nonsense.
But it's observation. And then I've sat in the food bank, sitting to people, often on record, and we've worked out what the problem. I say, where's your family? Where's your daughter? You've got a wealthy son you've just been telling me about in Dubai. Does he know that you are coming to? Why don't you contact him? What's the problem? The number of times people say, I don't like to ask my family, what? And you're coming and you're begging food, but you have a family that can help you. I mean, that's what family, it seems to me, is all. The old values are the old values that I hold and cherish.
And if people's family's broken down?
Well, sometimes
what happens
all they
then?
Need is an apology.
Oh, Edwina, you're simplifying and generalising so much. Some things are beyond repair in families.
It's not all the responsibility of the state to look
no,
after
and
us.
What state money goes into food banks?
About half the local authorities in the country, according to a Panorama survey recently on this program.
And do you know why
subject.
That is?
Hang on.
The councils are trying to mitigate the disaster that is the welfare
reform.
No, it's
because it's the easiest thing in the world to do.
What does that mean?
Well, it's a hell of a lot harder to run services, drop-in centres and services for people who are in real need. And councils do have this power and they should be doing it and they're not.